Good morning. Today's daf and sotos chaf aleph and chaf amud beis. We are starting this morning. Sorry. Vehem omrim hotzi uhu chaf amud beis, and it is about a third of the way from the bottom of the amud. Again, I want to thank the Masuth family for sponsorship of the entire masechta of sota. Learning that we do this morning lezecher nishmas Nechemia ben Avraham. Vehem omrim hotzi uhu. So we are at now the most dramatic point in which she just drank the water and she is about to, let's just for simplicity's sake, she's going to blow up. Okay, the Mishnah gave us a little more description in terms of exactly what's going to be happening, but effectively now the Mayim is bodik, the water is going to be the litmus test, and if in fact she was metame, she was with the man in seclusion, she committed the act of Eishes Ish, so the water is going to do tremendous damage. Right now there's a consideration in the Mishnah, and that is take her out. Take her out because, we don't want a mace in that area. And the Gemara over here, meaning aside from all the drama, so the Gemara does what it normally does, and that is that it just deals with the halacha. And that is that we have a mace, but the Gemara says, and so what? Again, putting the drama aside, we're now talking about a mace in Tumah, in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asked a question. So my time, didoma mesa. So the Gemara says, okay, the concern is that she's going to die. Le meimra de mesa sur. But machin levia vahatanya, the Gemara says, okay, but we're not in the Azara. We're in machin levia. We're in Har HaBayis. Har HaBayis has a status of machin levia. And what do we know? We go over this numerous times. We get to go over it again right now. So as the Gemara reviews for us numerous times, a mace is allowed to be in Machane Leviyah, meaning somebody who's metame mace is allowed to be there, and the mace itself is allowed to be there. We know that the 40 years that they were going through the desert, Moshe took care of Atzmos Yosef. Atzmos Yosef was together with Moshe. Moshe, obviously being a Levi, lived in Machane Leviyah. Now we take all that information, we move it over to the Beis HaMikdash. So the areas of the Beis HaMikdash, let's review. The Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash is Machane Shechina. The surrounding area of Har HaBayis is Machane Leviyah. The surrounding area of Yerushalayim is Machane Yisrael. And we know, where can a mace go till? Mace can go in Yerushalayim, into Har HaBayis, now can't go into the Azara, but so what? In other words, the mace is allowed to be in the second and third area. So considering that, if the woman dies, it's not a violation of Tumah. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Shema Tifros Nida. No. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're moving to a new consideration, and that is that, well, maybe she'll become a Nida. Obviously, post-mortem, that doesn't mean anything, but in other words, beforehand, she'll start menstruating. As a result of that, we're now looking at a new Tumah. And oddly enough, but it's the halacha, a Nida is more restricted in terms of where she can go than a mace. A mace can go to Machane Yisrael and Machane Leviyah. A Nida can only go to Machane Yisrael, cannot be in Machane Leviyah. No. So in other words, a Nida can't be in Har HaBayis. So the Mamad de Biusis of Merapia. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are you suggesting? You're suggesting that because of that striking fear that she's going to have before she drinks, she's going to become a Nida. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, that's exactly what we're saying. So the Gemara, a couple places here in Megillah, tells us that Esther becomes a Nida. Now the Megillah doesn't tell us that, but the Megillah alludes to that. The Megillah says, Vatischachal hamaka ma'od. That's a difficult word to translate. The Gemara's interpretation is that from the word chalulin, basically, right, she becomes hollow, or that's a nice way to say that she started becoming an Ida. And if you look contextually over there in the storyline, you'll see that she was gripped with fear at that point in time, right? We're at the beginning of Perek Dal in the Megillah. Anyway, without going through all the details over there, but so the Gemara says, yes, a woman gripped with fear, it can induce her status of being an Ida. So, to which the Gemara says, "Vanantanan, okay, that's all well and good, but consider the following Mishnah, and that is Charada Masalekas Damim. The Mishnah Enida again, without going through the details, the Mishnah over there says that when a woman is gripped with fear, it won't induce menstruation. In fact, just the opposite, right? It'll pause it. It'll delay it. So the Gemara says, okay, pachta tzamis and biyusasa merafia. So the Gemara basically makes a split decision between what I'm going to call anxiety versus shock. Okay? And I'm not sure if my words are the best, but it certainly gives a sense of what the Gemara is saying. So if it's anxiety, that's pachta, so tzamis. So what it does is that it constricts. In other words, it will do the opposite of inducing. It'll hold it back. On the other hand, if it's biyususa, so let's call it panic. Okay. Again, my definitions might not be the best, but certainly that's the basic idea of the Gemara. So merafia. So that will loosen it up. In other words, that will induce menstruation. So the Gemara says, yes, you're going to basically see conflicting sources in terms of what anxiety and fear do to a woman in terms of inducing nida or just the opposite. But the Gemara says there are different types of anxieties and fears. So, schos tola. We learned in the mission yesterday that even if she was metame, the results of the test of drinking the water may not be immediate because she may have zechuyos, and it'll cause a delay of the drinking of the water, and the delay will extend for, says our Mishnah, 1 year, 2 years, maybe even 3 years. And the Gemara's discussion over here, really simple, and that is, who says 3 years? Meaning, Where is that position generated? And as we're about to see together right now, there are three opinions, and of those three opinions, none of them will say 3 years. So our Mishnah, and our Mishnah can't, it's hard to imagine our Mishnah is a fourth opinion. It's not crazy, but the Gemara is going to try to suggest that our Mishnah will fit into one of the three opinions. It's just a question of which one. Let's introduce ourselves to the three opinions. Mani Masnitsin, we're still on the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. Lo Abba Yossi ben Chanan, v'lo Rebbe Elazar ben Yitzchak, ish Kfar Daron, v'lo Rebbe Yishmael de Tanya. There are three opinions amongst the Tanayim. The Gemara now quotes the Braisa. Im yesh lazichos tolala shosha chadashim kedei akar se'uba divra Abba Yossi ben Chanan. One opinion is that it's a three-month delay. Rebbe Elazar ben Yitzchak, ish Kfar Daron, amar tisha chadashim shenemar v'nikta v'nizra'a zera lahalan omer. Zera Yavdenu Yisupar. Zera Arui Lasapir. And based on a drasha, so another opinion is 9 months. And finally, Rabbi Shmuel Amar Shemasar Chodesh Vafapisha in Raya Ladavar Zech Ladavar Dichsiv. Lehain Malka Malki Yishpar Alayach. Vechataach Bitstaka Prok. Vavyasach Bemachan Anian. Hain Tahave Arka Lashal Vesach. And a third opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, is that it's a year. It's a full year. And that opinion of a year comes from what? So what it comes from is a pasuk in Daniel. Now, again, without going through the details over here in Sefer Daniel, but we're looking here at the fourth parak of Sefer Daniel. And in the fourth parak, so Nebuchadnezzar's got dreams. He needs an interpreter. Daniel's his interpreter. And Nebuchadnezzar's dreams are not dreams. They're nightmares. And basically forecasting a lot of bad things that are going to fall on Nebuchadnezzar. And he's looking for Daniel for Eitzas. What advice can you give me? And Daniel's advice to Nebuchadnezzar is, give tzedakah. You give charity, you give tzedakah. And anything bad that's going to happen to you, that's destined to happen to you, is going to be put on delay. How long was it delayed? Uksiv. We go on in the fourth parak of Daniel. Kul amata Nebuchadnezzar malku uksiv liksas yarchin treyalsar. A delayed punishment for Nebuchadnezzar by one full year. Okay, so Rabbi Shmuel says that you see that zchus can be tola for a full year. So, you have zchuyos and you have, but at the same time, however, you have an onus, you have a punishment that's coming. So, the zchuyos can give you an extension. Either a 3 month, 9 month, or 1 year extension. And now the Gemara is asking a really simple question, which is, our Mishnah taught us a full year. You have a 1 year, I'm sorry. Our Mishnah taught us 3 year extension. So of the three opinions that we just saw, none of them match our Mishnah, and obviously that presents what's called a problem. So La'olam, the Gemara now on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, goes and gives the following resolution. La'olam Rabbi Shmuel. The author of our Mishnah, the Zchus Tola, is Rabbi Shmuel. Now obviously what we have to do is that we have to do now the accounting. Rabbi Yishmael says it extends for, your zechuyos will extend for 1 year. We'll give you a 1 year bump, a 1 year buffer. And meanwhile, our Mishnah says 3 years. So the Gemara says, La'olam Rabbi Yishmael v'ashkach kra damar, v'ashkach kra damar v'tini, dichsiv k'amar Hashem, al shalosha pishei edom. And the Gemara says, okay, but what you could do is that you can turn to a pasuk in Amos. And the pasuk in Amos says, that what we could do is we could take our number and turn it into a multiple of three. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be patient three times over. Now, three times. So in other words, we're obviously three is a multiple of what? Oh, so in other words, we have to start with our basic unit and then we can multiply it by three. Once we have Rabbi Shmuel's basic unit of 1 year and now able to multiply by three, now you get to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that sometimes it could be extended, punishment can be extended and delayed for 3 years. Good. So in other words, you start first with the pasuk in Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, where that gives us a 1 year extension, and then add on top of that the pasuk in Amos that says that sometimes it can be multiplied by three. Now, mind you, by the way, all this, there is so many follow-up questions, which I'm not ignoring, but in other words, it just, we have a lot of daf we have to do today, and we're going to go forward. Why wasn't Nebuchadnezzar given the three-year extension? Why was he only given the one-year extension? Right? There are other pesukim in Amos that the Gemara could have cited. Notably, there's a pesuk in Amos also about Bnei Yisrael. Okay. Anyway, but we're going to go on. So, umay afa pishen ra'yel davar zechel davar. So, what do we say that in the Brisa? So, you have an onesh, you have an impending punishment. So, if you have zechuyos, it could be tola. And then the Gemara in Rabbi Shmuel says, look, I don't have a great raya, but I have an okay one, right? Right? Alpha Pishen, Raya Ladavar, Zecher Ladavar. The Pasuk in Daniel, it's pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good. Gemara says, it's great. What are you talking about? In other words, just go over the conversation. I went over it really quickly. But go over the conversation between Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar says, I have impending punishment. And Daniel says, give tzedakah. And it was delayed by a year. I mean, what more do you want? That seems to be a raya brura. So the Gemara says, yeah, but just because we now know how schar and onish works regarding Hashem and Nebuchadnezzar, that may not be true by Jewish people. Jewish people may be governed by different rules when it comes to schar v'onish. Now over here, so we are making a distinction, but it doesn't work in our favor. At least that's the way Rashi presents it. Rashi says, it could be that when it comes to a Jew, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just simply more quick to act, more quick to judge us. In other words, we're going to be held to a higher level, and so in a higher expectation. And so therefore, just because we know that delay comes to Nebuchadnezzar by a year, sometimes by a multiple of three of those, 3 years, but when it comes to Jews, maybe not. In other words, it could be that it doesn't operate the same way. So that's why Rabbi Yishmael was a little bit careful about how he said it. Rabbi Yishmael said, I don't have a raya ladavar, but zecher ladavar. And the Gemara just explained to us why it was that he wasn't so comfortable to take what he knows regarding Nebuchadnezzar and simply apply it to the Jewish people. Chafal Famad Aleph, we are about a quarter of the way down on the Gemara. At the two dots. No, less than a quarter. About eight lines from the top of the Amud. Yesh chuz tola yesh alashanim. So sometimes it can be extended if the woman has zechuyos. So it can be extended for 3 years and chuz tamai. Gemara now turns its attention to one of the most classic discussions that we're going to be having here in Sota, and that's going to be women in learning. Okay, to engage in any kind of conversation about women in Talmud Torah. So today's daf, starting right now. So was zechus tamai. So if she has zechuyos, so what can it do is it can give an extension of 3 years. And the punishment is not going to come immediately, but she'll get a delay. Because she has zechuyos. Okay, she did something good. What's the something good that she did? So ilam is zechus Torah, maybe she learned Torah. So ayin mitzvah v'yosehi. So the Gemara, at right now, at this point in time, just simply rejects it. What are you talking about? She's not obligated in learning Torah. So yesterday we quoted. Today Rashi quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin. So the pasuk says, "V'limanatem osam es b'neichem," and the Gemara in Kiddushin, Chav Tes, says, There is not a mitzvah Talmud Torah when it comes to your daughters. And so there's no mitzvah. And right now the Gemara is assuming, well, if there's no mitzvah, then obviously there's not going to be schar. So it can't be schos mitzvah. It can't be the schos of Torah. So el is schos mitzvah. So the Gemara says, okay, so obviously now that we are saying, again, at this stage of the Gemara, we are saying that she has no schos Torah. She has no mitzvah of Torah, therefore she has no schos Torah. So now the Gemara considers, okay, well, obviously she's obligated in mitzvos, so she does a mitzvah. That's not going to provide her a schos. So that's the next step of the Gemara. Schos mitzvah, mi meganyiku lehai. Gemara says, yeah, but the mitzvah is not going to protect her that much. Ve'atani, we'll enter the braisa. It's zudarsh rabbi menachem bar yosi, kiner mitzvah v'sora, or the pasuk in Mishlei. Tala ha'kasav, it's a mitzvah b'ner v'sator ba'or. So over here, we have a mashal. The word tala over here is synonymous with mashal. So the pasuk in Mishlei is giving us the following analogy. And that is, mitzvah, that's ner, that's a candle. And Torah, well, that's light. And obviously over here, it's our job now to understand the mashal. Ez a mitzvah b'ner lo melechama ner ina magina alafisha af mitzvah ina magina alafisha. Now you have a candle. What kind of illumination is the candle going to provide for you? Okay, so those of you who are old school and still do bedikas chametz with your candle, so you know that that's hard work. the candle provides obviously some illumination, but it's not nearly as good as a flashlight. Okay, but anyway, kind of giving away how I do it. But the meanwhile, that's a tarba or. But Torah is compared to light, la milchama, or megina lehem, after megina la'olam. So mitzvah, on one hand, says the braisa. So it gives you temporary protection. Torah, on the other hand, gives you permanent protection. The Omer, and the Gemara now quotes another pasuk, also from Mishlei. This one we are a little more familiar with at the end of every siyum. So this pasuk is added to the siyum. After learning today's daf, we're going to understand a lot better why this pasuk is attached to the nusach of the siyum. Bis alechecha tanche osach. The Gemara is assuming that we know the rest of the pasuk in Mishlei, and the Gemara now darshes. Bis alecha tanche osach zeh olam hazeh. Bishach vecha tishmor alecha zumisa. And vakitzosa hi sisichecha lasilavo. So the Gemara's understanding is that pasuk in Mishlei is describing Torah. And what it's going to do, it's going to protect you in this world. That's olam hazeh. It's going to protect you post-mortem. That's Misa. And la'asilavo. And then in the future. You're right. We're describing over here three stages. Life, death, and the future. Okay. And obviously, right, you have to, we all have to do a better job understanding exactly those three stages. But meanwhile, Torah protects you in all three of those stages. And then the Braisa doesn't stop. The Braisa continues. Mashal adam shayim al chbishon layla. I'll give you an analogy. If somebody's walking at night, all right, the superlative adjective is over here describing like real darkness. And obviously as you're walking and you cannot see, so you're worried about basically all the hazards, thorns, pits, and other types of thorns. So barkanim, umichayirah, menalistim, wild animals, robbers, and you don't know which way to go. So nizdam nala vukash or nitzam nakotzim mina pichasim mina barkanim. So if you have some sort of torch, okay, so you can basically get some illumination. You're not going to step on a thorn. You're not going to fall into a pit because it provides you at least the basic illumination of your immediate surroundings. The adai misari mechayirah menalistim eni yode beize derech mahalech. Still, wild animals who are, they could see at night, and they're not right next to you. You're not going to be protected from them, nor from robbers. So, however, once you get to Amud HaShachar, once you get to dawn, and now you have not just the light of your torch, but you have, right, real illumination. So now, you no longer need to be worried about the wild animals, nor about the robbers. And still, you don't know exactly where to go. Higila Parshas Drachim needs some Makulam. Once you get to Parshas Drachim, once you get to the crossroads, you'll be safe from all of them. Okay. There is obviously at the end of this brisa we're talking about a crossroads. A crossroads, that crossroads is right now extraordinarily vague. So hold off on that last part of the brisa. We will, in Yirtzeh Hashem, come back to the last part of the brisa and understand the end of the mashal a little bit better. But meanwhile, what are we saying right now? Everything that we said for the last 2 minutes all points to one indicator, and that is Torah. That's real light, and that provides real protection. On the other hand, when it comes to a mitzvah, it's an air, it's a candle, it provides some protection, but that's just it, some. So, davar acher, aver mechabe mitzvah, vein aver mechabe Torah. And also, if, as long as we're putting the side-by-side comparison of a mitzvah versus Torah, so if you have averos, so averos will extinguish a mitzvah, meaning that, right, and again, working with our analogy, right, the averos, right, from an analogy standpoint, averos like water, and what happens when you take water and you put it over your candle, fire goes out. On the other hand, averos not going to be mechabe Torah. An aver will not knock out the Torah. You have Torah, and the aver will not erase it. Shenemar, Maim Rabim, lo yuchlu chabos es ha'ahava, pasuk at the end of Shir Hashirim, not the very end, but the last parak. So it says that Maim Rabim, even with a lot of water, it will not be able to distinguish ahava, and ahava over here to be understood as Torah. See Rashi over here, who understands how it is that we know that ahava is in fact Torah. Okay. Rambam also makes deep connections between ahava and Torah. Anyway, so what comes out over here is as follows. So mitzvahs are not protecting. Torah, on the other hand, provides tremendous protection. Okay, and what it does now is it forces us to ask the question. Meaning, the Gemara's basic question is like this. A woman is going to be delayed in terms of her onus. Why? Because she has zechuyos. What we are trying to wrap our head around is, what are the zechuyos of a woman? What the Gemara right now currently is suggesting is, well, it can't be Torah because she's not obligated to learn Torah. And as far as mitzvahs are concerned, as far as mitzvahs and its ability to protect, doesn't have such a great ability to protect. And so we're asking, what is protecting the woman? I'm Rav Yosef. So now that we have the question set, right? It took the Gemara almost a half an amud to formulate the question. But now that the question is set, so now what is going to be her protection? What is providing her the delay of the onish? So Amar of Yosef, mitzvah be'ina da'asik be'i migna, umatzvah be'ina da'asik be'i, da'lo asik ba' agune migna, atzule lo matzvah. However, Torah, be'ina da'asik ba' be'ina da'asik ba' magno matzvah. Okay. So the Gemara now is talking about, once again, the side-by-side comparison of mitzvah versus Torah. Right? You do a mitzvah, so it will be megan, but it won't be matzo. When you do Torah, when you learn Torah, it'll be megan and it'll be matzo. Obviously, what's the difference between them? So when it comes to being Megan, so that means it protects you from Yisurim. Meaning, if you have an Onish, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to extract, so it's true, but the mitzvah can serve as some form of protection. However, when it comes to Torah, not only does it do Megan, but also it does Hatzal as well. It saves you. Well, what's the difference between Megan and Matzil? So presumably, Matzil means that it saves you from your Yetzirah. Right, that's the way Rashi explains it. In other words, the Torah is stronger. But according to Rav Yosef, meaning, we know the Torah is stronger, meaning that was the whole point of the Braisa. But the question was, well, how is she going to be protected? So Rav Yosef saying is because mitzvahs do afford protection, not the same degree, not the same dual level of protection that Torah provides, but it provides some form of protection. It's Megan. So in other words, so now that Rav Yosef is saying that it provides some protection, now we understand. How can the woman's punishment be delayed for 1, 2, even 3 years? Mitzvos. So how is Torah better? Because the Braisa spent a lot of time teaching us that Torah is better, because Torah is not only Megan, it's Matzil. Matzil meaning it protects us from the Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara now notes two personalities in Tanakh who went down a dark path. And again, not going through all the details right now, but Doeg and Achitofel, right? Running after David, trying to kill David. And obviously, they really succumbed to the Yetzirah. And the Gemara says, and I don't understand. They were involved in the study of Torah. We have numerous Gemaras that point to Doeg and Achitofel being exemplary Talmidei Chachamim. And how can they go down such a dark path? Didn't we just learn together that Torah protects you from your Yetzirah? So Allah Marava Torah be inadasik ba magna umatzla. Be inadalasik ba aguni migna atzula la matzla. And mitzvah bein be inadasik ba bein be inadalasik ba aguni magna atzula la matzla. So Rava says, okay, so a little bit of refinement and redaction in terms of what mitzvahs can protect you from and what Torah can protect you from. Let's start with Torah. He starts with Torah. So as far as Torah is concerned, while you're studied, while you're involved in the study of Torah, so then migna umatzla. It protects you from Yisurim and it saves you from your Yetzirah. However, while you're not learning Torah, even though you have Torah historically in your past, but if you're not currently learning Torah, so aguni migna, so it will certainly protect you from Yisurim. On the other hand, atzuli la matzla. You are now at the whim of your Yetzirah. However, when it comes to mitzvah, mitzvah only provides Haganah. It will only protect you from Yisurim, but it will not provide any form of protection from the Yetzirah. Okay, so Dogen Achitofel. So how do they go down the dark path? The answer is that they did have Torah, but Torah only provides protection from your Yetzirah while engaged in Torah. Once you're disengaged from Torah, so now you are at the whim of the Yetzirah. We have now spent a lot of time on the Amud Aleph answering one question. How is a woman going to have a delay of punishment? Mishnah says 3 years because there's zechuyos. What are the zechuyos? So after a lengthy discussion in the Gemara here on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, her zechuyos are going to be mitzvos. Because mitzvos are going to be providing protection from Yisurim. Okay. And then Ravina Amar La'olam zechus Torah. Ravina says, I would like to go back to the first answer that we submitted and the Gemara rejected it. Ravina says, I would like to open up the case again. That a woman learning Torah does provide protection. Ravina Amar La'olam zechus Torah dekamar nina mitzvah v'yos and hi depkudah la'mifkada ba'agur namakur namasnam b'nayu v'natron lula gavrayu ad da'asumi be'y midrasha milo palgan be'ahadayu. Ravina says, look, women are not obligated in the study of Torah. There's nothing to discuss over there. That's the starting point of the discussion. That's why the Gemara originally rejected such a suggestion that it's going to provide her for zechus. She's not obligated. So Ravina says, okay, I know she's not obligated. However, you don't think that if she facilitates limud Torah, she's not going to get rewarded for that? Meaning that even though you're not obligated to learn Torah, but if you facilitate somebody who is obligated to learn Torah to learn Torah, for sure you're going to get reward for that. So this is Misayeh B'dvar Mitzvah. Okay, not so long ago, I discussed this topic as far as the beginning of the Gemara and the second parak of Kedushin. Anyway, but this is a very good proof for this idea that when you are assisting somebody in doing a mitzvah, so you yourself are going to be rewarded. So over here, Misayeh L'dvar Mitzvah, she's assisting. Who is she assisting? Her boys, her sons, and her husband. So in other words, if she promotes the learning of Torah for her sons and her husband, so she's going to get rewarded. So Ravina says, and that is chus Torah, meaning, and what kind of reward is she going to get? Well, if she's facilitating limud Torah, so the reward she's going to get is the chus of Torah. So what we suggested earlier, what zechuyos does a woman have? The answer is chus Torah. But in other words, as far as the Gemara's approach is concerned, it's not because she's getting chus Torah for learning it. She's getting zechus Torah for facilitating the learning of Torah. Okay. Ad kan, so the entirety of the Amud Aleph, I'm going to do a mid-daf review because it's actually a lot of Gemara that we just went through, but it's really one question and two proposed answers. The Gemara asks towards the top of the Amud that the delay of the punishment for the woman who is tummy, who is with the man, and she's going to get punished, but the punishment can be delayed for up to 3 years. So the Gemara's question is, what zechuyos does she have? So answer number one of the Gemara, zechus of a mitzvah. Mitzvah provides protection from Yisurim. It's all it can do. It can't be matzil, but it can be megan. Okay, that's answer number one. Answer number two of the Gemara is that she does have zechus Torah. Not because she has a mitzvah to learn. She doesn't have a mitzvah to learn, but she has zechus Torah in the facilitation of others learning Torah, notably her sons and her husband. Okay, my parshas drachim. Okay, remember that brisa that we quoted earlier this morning, and the brisa describes that, you know, if you're carrying a torch, it provides some protection. It's not that good when you're walking at night. But then what happens is that as the dawn arrives, and now, right, the world is alit, Oh, now you have real protection. And then you get to Parshas Drachim, and then, what in the world is Parshas Drachim? Meaning in the analogy, right? The analogy was going great up until the point that we got to Parshas Drachim. Meaning that is a new stage of life. What do you mean? I got the torch, I got morning, I got the daybreak, and then we get to Parshas Drachim. So what new stage of life is that? The Gemara's got a couple of ways to interpret the end of the mashal. My Parshas Drachim. Amar Rav Chisda Zetam Chacham V'Yamisa. So Rav Chisda says it's a Tam Chacham, and specifically a description of the Yom HaMisa on the day that he dies. Okay, now, goes without saying, that is interesting. What is that a reference to? Rashi writes over here succinctly. Rashi is four wide lines down. V'Yom HaMisa. V'hu Tam Chacham V'Yom Mosa V'Yeda Shalo Pirish Lefrok Me'alav Ol Torah. So Rashi says that when you have a Talmud Chacham and he arrives at the Yom HaMisa and he continued learning throughout the entirety of his life and he never gave up. So at that point in time, when he gets to Parshas Drachim, the crossroads, in other words, at the point of death now, so there are multiple paths a person can go down. I'm saying this, obviously, not fully understanding what I'm saying, but, you know, obviously it's a mashal. So I'm, you know, trying to wrap our heads around this. So the basic idea is that there are different ways you can go. So for the person who is involved in the study of Torah, so the correct path will be shown to the individual. That is one way to understand Parshas Drachim. The Gemara gives a second way to interpret it. Mar Zutra Amar Zetam Chacham Desakol Shmaita Liba Dehuchasa. No, I skipped one. In my head I had three. And okay, good. Rav Nachman Yisakamar Zetam Chacham Yeruschet. No, it's a reference to a Tam Chacham and Yeruschet, meaning that a person who is involved in Torah and mitzvos. So what's going to happen is that he will arrive at the next stage. And the second interpretation, we're not talking about now the stage of death, but according to this interpretation, you arrive at a stage of Yeruschet. In other words, you will become so, have such an awe and reverence and fear of sinning, that your likelihood of sinning even diminishes that much more. Okay, so mitzvahs and Torah will eventually lead to Yiras Chet. Right, it sounds, by the way, it sounds a lot like the Mesillas Yesharim. Now, the Mesillas Yesharim is obviously coming off of a Gemara. Okay, happens to be. We're gonna see that Gemara together in the not-so-distant future. Anyway, so, but basically, stages of growth in character development. Mitzvos, learning, and you're going to get to Yiras Chet. And the third interpretation of Parshas Drachim, Marzut Shamar Zetam Chacham, Desalkalei Shmaita Ta'ali B'Deil Chasa. And the third interpretation of the Gemara is Marzutra, and that is that we're talking about a Tam Chacham again. Mitzvos, study of Torah, and what's going to end up happening is that he'll arrive at good conclusions. Now, interesting Rashi over here. What does that mean? Good conclusions. V'hachi Kamar. Again, I go back to Rashi. Allah Murashacha Nitzal Menachaya, Zachla Torah Nitzal Meyetzahara Menachet, Ve'adayin Ani Yodeh Beizeh Derech Mahalachim Yizkesh Yesayu Menashamayim Lizkabel Devarav Bin Chaveirav. Meaning, even though you were involved in mitzvahs and you studied Torah, and again, these are obviously great stages to get to, but are people going to hear what you're saying? I don't mean audibly hear what you're saying, but accept what you're saying. In other words, acknowledge that what you're saying makes sense. So, Laharaz Ka'alacha U'Kemishpat. Higila Parshas Drachim Klamar, Zakalakach Nitzal Mikulam. And then you're going to get to the stage in which Parshas Drachim, people will accept what you're saying. In other words, your reasoning is so sound, your arguments are so strong, people will resonate with your conclusions. That's the Parshas Drachim. Third interpretation. Davracher Aver Mechabe Mitzvah Vein Aver Mechabe Torah. Okay, and let's go back to a point that we made a little bit earlier this morning. Rav Menachem Bar Yossi says that, again, the difference between mitzvah versus Torah. So an avera will not extinguish a mitzvah. No, sorry. Thank you. Avera will extinguish a mitzvah, but avera will not extinguish Torah. So, and he quotes the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu L'Chabos Esava. And Amar of Yosef, Darshe, Rav Menachem Bar Yossi, Laikra Kisinai. So that was a beautiful drasha, says Rav Yosef. In fact, if Doeg and Achitofel would have really digested and absorbed that drasha, they wouldn't have ran after David. So dechsev, they said regarding David, lemor lokim azvu. In other words, they thought that we're going to have no problem not only chasing David, but defeating David. What about the divine protection that that's going to be afforded to David HaMelech? So they thought, no more divine protection. They thought that Akash Baruch Hu left David. Why? Because David has Averis. Now, I know there are other Gemaras that say, don't say that. Okay? So I'm cautioning myself about what to say and what not to say. But in terms of Pshat in our Gemara, well, that's what they thought. So my drosh, v'lo yer b'chayer v'az davar. So v'hein en yodim sh'aver mechabe mitzvah v'hein aver mechabe Torah. So they thought that that David now is vulnerable because the avera of what David did took away any zechuyos that he has, and so therefore he's vulnerable. What they failed to realize is that David didn't just have mitzvos; he had Torah as well. So since he had Torah, so Torah provides the protection for David, and averas cannot drown out a Torah, the zechus Torah that a person has. Okay. And if Doeg and Achitofel would have recognized that, they wouldn't have bothered trying to create this revolution on David HaMelech. We quoted this pasuk already a couple times this morning. One more round. Ma'im rabim lo yuchul lechabos azava. And the pasuk goes on. I'm reading the pasuk. The Gemara doesn't quote the whole pasuk. Unaharus lo yishtafua. Imitein ishes kol hon beiso be'ava. Boz yavozu lo. If you give hon beiso, if you give tzedakah, if you support, so you're going to be able to enjoy the spoils. So my voz yavozu lo. And the pasuk at the end, voz yavozu lo, says that you're going to enjoy the spoils. But some people are, not everybody. The Gemara goes on to explain this a little bit better. Amar ula lo kishimun achei azarya. V'lo karev yochanan debe nisiya. Ela kehilo v'shevna. I'm going to give you three examples of a person learning and somebody else supporting. Two of those examples were great, and one of them not so great. So, well, before we get to the one that's not so great, let's go back to the ones that are great. Shimon and his brother Azariah, and Rabbi Yochanan and the Bein Nasi. Shimon was supported by his brother, and Rabbi Yochanan was supported by the Bein Nasi. And so, when you support a Talmid Chacham, so what you do is that you get to share the wealth, meaning the wealth of the Zchus of the Torah that he learned. Okay, ideas that express itself numerous times throughout the Gemara, but today's daf being no exception. In other words, so you are a supporter of Torah, so you get to benefit in the zchus of the Torah. Good, and we see that two times over. However, a third time over, it's not going to work out. Why not? That's what the Gemara is going to focus on. Dechias Rav Dima Amar Hillel V'Shem Nachay Havu. Hillel had a brother as well, right? You heard of him? Chances are you did not hear of them. Because outside of our Gemara over here, I don't think he's mentioned. I could be wrong. So Hillel Asuk B'Torah. Now, of course, we know that Hillel was involved in the study of Torah. We also know that Hillel suffered from terrible poverty. Right? There are Gemaras that describe the poverty that Hillel went through. And Shevna Avadiska. And as far as Shevna is concerned, he did business. And he made money. Now, what they never did is that Shevna never said to Hillel, okay, let me support you and let's split the reward of your Zchus Torah. In other words, he didn't make that arrangement earlier in life. At the end, I don't know what the end means, but towards the end, Shevna says to Hillel, how about now? How about we go 50-50 now? So Yatzah Baskol V'Amrei Mitein Ishes Kol Hon Beiso. So now the Baskol comes out and the Baskol cites the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And since it was not arranged at the time, meaning earlier, so as a result of that, we turn to the Amud Beis. No, we don't turn to the Amud Beis. Right? The Gemara finished the point, sorry. And the point is that if you didn't arrange it earlier, you can't arrange it later. Meaning, right, post the period of learning, it simply does not work out. You can't go over to the person and say, hey, all that Torah you learned, good. Let me give you money now, and let's put the reward of the Zchus Torah. It only works ahead of time, not post facto. Okay. Fine. Why doesn't it work post facto? It's a great question. I'm not sure if I have a great answer. Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Okay. Omer ben Azai chayav adam lama es v'chulei. Okay, the shita's ben Azai. Person should be teaching his daughter Torah. Okay. I will admit, by the way, the topic of women in the study of Torah, it's a huge topic. There's much to discuss about it. As far as the Daf Yomi is concerned, I'm obviously, like every day, focused on really what the Gemara has to say, right? With basic interpretations of Rashi, Tosos, and obviously this is a topic in of itself. However, I will tell you though that just in other words, not to get involved in the topic too much. It is confusing. On the Amud Aleph of today's Daf, so what do we see together? We saw that a woman does not have a mitzvah to study Torah. And even Ravina, who says that the zechuis that she's going to be receiving is facilitating others who are obligated to learn Torah to go in and to learn Torah. And then we go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Benazai says, teach your daughter Torah. In other words, Benazai is fundamentally disagreeing with whether or not she has a mitzvah to learn Torah. Hard to imagine, right? Benazai is going against the Gemara and Kedushin. Hard to imagine, right? I guess the easiest shot to say in Benazai is that despite the fact that she doesn't have a mitzvah to learn Torah, but still, she's in a mitzvah of Yosa, but she does a mitzvah, and therefore she's going to be getting some reward. Okay. I'm contrasting on the Amud Aleph, the Gemara never entertained that idea. And on the Amud Beis, Benazai, I mean, again, Benazai go back to our Mishnah, but Benazai is more than happy to entertain that idea, and not only entertain the idea, but he really believes that the learning of Torah, even though she's not obligated, but it provides a schus, right? Really, just a fundamental difference between the Amud Aleph of today's daf and the Amud Beis. Okay. Amr Benazai chayav adam lamed v'chulei. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Kol Malam is Bita Malam. Kol Malam is Bita Torah Malam de Tiflis. Good. Our Mishnah over here. Fundamental disagreement between Benazai and Rabbi Eliezer whether we should be promoting teaching Torah to the daughters or just the opposite. So Tiflis Akadache Alayim Akilu Malam de Tiflis. Now, right. I think I mentioned this quickly yesterday, but I'll mention it quickly again today. When the Mishnah uses the word Tiflis, what the Mishnah really means is Ki'ilu. Meaning tiflis is something that's bad. Okay, the exact and the precise definition of the word tiflis open to a lot of interpretations. Whatever it is, it's bad. So when Rabbi Eliezer makes that strong statement, you're teaching your daughter Torah. You're teaching her tiflis. What?
What does it mean? Literally?
Right. Fair question. Probably the best. Right. A good interpretation would be that it's lewd. It's right?
Yeah, intimacy.
Yeah. Okay. And the Gemara says it's not the same. So it's ki'ilu. The Gemara says, yeah, softened a little bit. It's as if. And Rashi's understanding over here, ki'ilu, meaning because what do you learn when you're learning Torah? So you learn how to be, in other words, you learn the legal system. You're learning a system. Loopholes. Right? And in every legal system, that's exactly what Rashi says. In every legal system, so there are loopholes, and a lot of the learning of the Gemara that we do. So we're learning the intricacies of a system, and when you have a system, so you go through. Sometimes you go around, and so you give this information, and you basically teach in terms of thinking of how to strategize and how to circumvent. And sometimes it can be used for good, and sometimes it can be used for bad. Okay. I'm Rabbi Abba, my time to Rabbi Eliezer, Dixiv, Ani Chachma, Shachanti Arma, Kevin Shenichnasa Chachma, Ba'adam Nichnasa Imo, Armo Mis. And Rabbi Abba basically articulates what we just said, right? He uses the Pasuk in Mishlei, right? That when you are Chachma, you're Arma. When you're smart, you're cunning. V'Rabbanan. Now, as far as Ben Isaiah is concerned, Haini Chachma, my Avdile, what does he do with that Pasuk in Mishlei? Mi Ba'ile. Lichid Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Damer of Yosef Rabbi Chanina, and Devar Torah Mekayim Emela B'Misha Mamin Atzmo Arum Aleihem. So, when are you going to be successful in learning Torah? When you're Arum. Arum in this context means that you're like impoverishing yourself. Shenem Rani Chachma Shechanti Arma. Meaning that if you luxuriate yourself, you're not going to be successful in learning Torah. What you have to do is you have to basically go really modest. And you have to really, I don't mean this physically, but you got to slim down. In order to be able to focus your attention on Torah, Amar Rav Yochanan in Devar Torah Miskayim Emela B'Misha Meisim Atzmo K'Misha Eino. The Gemara gives other drushas very similar to what we just said. Rav Yochanan says, in order to be successful in Torah, what do you have to do? You have to reduce yourself to as if you're a nothing. Shenemar v'achachma me'ayin timatzei. Where do you find chachma? You find it from nothing, from ayin. Rav Yeshua Amar wrote to Isha, my kamar. Now, Rav Yeshua made a comment in the Mishnah, which the Gemara now is going to explain a little bit better. Hachi kamar. Wrote to Isha, bekav, v'tiflus imo, mitisha kamen uprishus. Rashi's understanding is that, and I said this yesterday in the Mishnah, but okay. In other words, we're doing the Gemara, so I get to say it again. And that is that Rashi's understanding is that a wife would prefer a husband who makes less money, but is home more often, as opposed to her husband making more money, but not home as often. Okay. Hi, Omer Chassid Shote, Echidami Chassid Shote. Okay, let's pause over here. Okay, and tomorrow we'll start with the... All these Gemaras are fantastic. Tomorrow we'll start with the Chassid Shote.
I posed a question yesterday, and I don't think I have an answer. And that is, if they say if the woman has secured it, the punishment will be delayed for up to 3 years, right? In the meantime, is she going to have a baby with the husband? Is she going to get back with the husband and have a baby?
Right. So, the Gemara is going to be discussing it a little bit in the upcoming days. In other words, let's get some more information then. And I don't know if you're going to be satisfied, but at least there's more information coming up in the Gemara, the Shita of Rebbe and Nisnavna. It's coming up. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, a 3-year delay. In other words, even if she's coming, even if she has onus coming, impending onus can be delayed up to 3 years. The first thing that we discussed today is 3 years. Who said 3 years? In a brisa. That we saw at the beginning of this morning's daf, really at the end of yesterday's daf. So there are three opinions. None of them say 3 years. So the Gemara spent some time in the beginning of today's daf going over, what you have Rabbi Shmo says 1 year, and sometimes that 1 year can be multiplied by three. Okay. Next. Most of today's daf, the entirety, the remainder of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph asks a basic question and gives two basic approaches. The question... a woman is going to have zchuyos. Her zchuyos are going to come how? Through what? So at first the Gemara rejects the idea that it's through Torah. In other words, there's no zchus Torah for a woman to be learning Torah because she's not obligated. So if it's not zchus Torah, what is it? So answer number one of today's daf is mitzvos. In other words, she does mitzvos and the mitzvos provide zchuyos. And the Gemara spent a lot of time going over that the zchus of a mitzvah is not as great and not as strong as the schos of Torah, but still, it provides Haganah. It protects from Yisurim. That's approach number one. And approach number two of the Gemara is that, no, we're going to go back to schos Torah. What schos Torah is she going to get? Facilitation of learning of those who are obligated, i.e. her husband and her sons. So when she facilitates them learning Torah, that provides for her the schos of Torah. Okay, that is the Amud Aleph and the Amud Beis. So we just clarified a number of statements in the Mishnah. The position of Ben Azeh, the position of Rabbi Eliezer, all that was clarified better. Kan tomorrow, obviously we pick it up.